Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Rai Way first quarter 2019 results analyst conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Giancarlo Benucci, Head of Corporate Development and IR of Rai Way. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and welcome to our first quarter 2019 results call. I'm here with Aldo Mancino, CEO, and Adalberto Pellegrino, CFO. Let me now hand the call over to Aldo. Please, Aldo, go ahead.
Thank you, Giancarlo, and good afternoon, and good morning to those connected from the U.S. As usual, today I will keep my remarks relatively short, since we presented our full year 2018 results just a few weeks ago. First of all, before commenting the key takeaways of our first quarter, let me remind you that, as you all know, starting from this year, we are adopting the new IFRS 16 accounting standard, which impacts some of the KPI we usually share with you. Therefore, in order to help you compare the 2018 and the 2019 figures on a like-for-like basis, we provide you with the restatement of 2018 economic figures, meaning simulating the impact of IFRS 16 on last year's numbers. Consequently, also the numbers we will be compared to the 2018 pro forma figures and the 2019 reported one. In any case, Adalberto will go more in details on this later on. From an operational standpoint, the first quarter of the year proceeded in line with expectations, confirming the good momentum already experienced in 2018, with the adjusted EBITDA that continues its growth, mainly driven by higher revenues on the back of CPI contribution and new services for RAI. Then, as far as the 700 MHz refarming process is concerned, on April 18th, EGICOM issued the conversion of and awarding criteria with two important topics. First, the new RAI Multiplex One, the one with 99% of coverage and regionalized, the PNAF has foreseen network number 8. So it's a good news as it clears up some uncertainties on the main multiplex we will run. Then, PNAF confirmed the 0.5 conversion factor between the current rights of use of frequency and the right of use of transmitting capacity. And this means that the right of use of each frequency currently awarded to the operators will be converted into the right of use of transmission capacity equal of half of a BVBT multiplex. Furthermore, each new right of use of DVB-T2 frequency will be then assigned to national operators with right of use of transmission capacity equivalent to one DVB-T2 multiplex, meaning two half multiplexes either individually or jointly. In other words, all the operators, including RAI, currently owning five multiplexes, will be automatically awarded with 2.5, and all the operator currently owning one multiplex will remain with 0.5 multiplex. Moreover, the AGCOM also formally started the process to define the criteria of auction to award the outstanding two multiplexes, or better, the four slots of half multiplex each of additional capacity, which should take place in the third quarter of this year. Looking at the schedule we shared with you back in March, the next relevant milestone is the issue of the roadmap by the Ministry of Economic Development, expected imminently. Then the same ministry is expected first to formally award the frequencies to the national operators by June 30th, and subsequently call the auction for the additional capacity. So let me say that so far the outcome is in line not only with the budget law, but also with our assumption, confirming the likely scenario with Rai-Way running three multiplexes for Rai. Also, in light of all this, the current talks with Rai to finalize the process, meaning define technical solutions and consequently related investments and remuneration, are ongoing, with the aim to reach an agreement in the coming weeks. And then, once the final scenario on the refarming will be defined, we will update our current industrial plan, currently covering the period 2015-2019. Looking at the business with third parties, we are pleased with the performance of the segments different from MNOs that in the first quarter grew at a high single digit, benefit from a renewed and more effective commercial approach. Here I would mention on tower hosting side, the further progresses in the radio TV broadcasters, fixed wireless access providers, and corporate segments, but also on transmission side, services side, the improvement mainly related to the signal transport of the Italian Football League Serie A. Now, I would like to provide you some color on the memorandum of understanding we recently signed with Rai and Open Fiber. This agreement encompasses joint research and development activities with the aim to identify and test ultra-broadband products, technologies, and services for the broadcasting of HD and ultra-HD video content on IP platforms. And therefore, a good opportunity that confirms the focus on the company on innovation, and that will help us to follow the development of the platforms that will complement and integrate the traditional DTT and satellite platforms. So in a nutshell, we are reaffirming our guidelines for the full year 2019 as presented back in March. Now let's look in more detail at our performance in the first quarter of 2019, moving to slide number 4. As anticipated, here on the slide you can see for adjusted EBITDA, net income and cash conversion, the restated 2018 figure that simulate the impact of IFRS 16 on last year's performance. Core revenues, which are not impacted by IFRS 16, reached 55 million euros, higher than the first quarter last year, as a result of higher revenues from RAI, driven by the CPI contribution and new services, and also revenues from third parties, which are only slightly lower than last year, thanks to the positive performance with clients different from MNOs. Then the adjusted EBITDA increased by around 3% at 32.9 million euros, driven by the higher top line and a broadly stable cost base. Moving to the bottom line, the net income was up 6% year on year at 15.7 million euros. And then on the financial side, so CapEx in the first quarter amounted to 2.6 million euros, higher than last year, mainly due to the development component at 1.7 million from 0.2 in 2018, driven by preparatory activities for refarming, namely release of radio link frequencies and DAB network extension. About maintenance CapEx, although higher than last year, are pretty low as per our usual back-end loaded seasonality. Then the recorded net financial position at March 31 amounts to 10.9 million euros. And here let me highlight that excluding the impact of IFRS 16 for almost 50 million euros, the company would have reported a net cash position of 36.7 million. Compared to a net cash position of 16.6 million at the 31 December 2018, confirming the strong cash generation with the cash conversion at 97.3%. With this, I'll hand over to Adalberto to provide you with details on the main items of our results. Please, Adalberto, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Aldo. Good afternoon to everyone. Also in this quarter, we delivered a good set of numbers, which confirmed the progresses of the company in line with expectation. As Aldo already anticipated, let me just remind you that due to the adoption of the new IFRS 16 accounting standard from January, from the beginning of this year, starting from the next slide on OpEx, you will also see the 2018 pro forma figures that simulate the impact of the IFRS 16 also on 2018 figures. Let's start with the top line, which is not impacted by the IFRS 16. Core revenues were 1.8% higher at reaching 55 million euro, with the right component growing 2.3%, driven by the fixed consideration that benefit from the 1.4% CPI, as well as by new services that were up for almost one-third at 1.6 million euro, with the growth driven by the new contract signed in 2018. On the other end, revenues from third parties were down 0.8% at 8.3 million euro. Here, if you consider that the year-on-year reduction in Q1 2018 was 3.8%, we are showing a good improvement, thanks to the lower decrease from the MNOs, but more importantly, to the high single-digit growth of the other segments of customers. Confirming a positive trend on the revenues not related to the MNO customer that we saw also last year. Moving now to the slide on cost, slide number seven. Here you see the first impact of the IFRS 16 being a portion of our leasing cost no longer accounted for in the OpEx. If you compare the first quarter 2018 pro forma figures with the first quarter 2019 ones, the overall cost base increased 0.2 million euro or 0.9%, with first, the personnel cost that increased by 2.4% as a consequence of the hiring of the new personnel in the context of the agreed process within the early retirement plan we implemented over the past year, and also an impact coming from the new collective employment agreement. Secondly, other OpEx remained flat with the higher maintenance and utilities cost that have been offset by further efficiencies on intercompany and other costs. Now let's go to slide eight on the profit and loss. Our net income stood at 15.7 million euro, up 6% from 14.8 million recorded in 2018 on a pro forma basis, mainly driven by the mentioned higher revenues, the further growth in profitability with our margin on revenues that was 40 basis points higher than last year at 59.7%. The higher EBITDA also helped by the absence of non-recurring costs in 2019, and broadly stable below the line items with a tax rate that as expected went back to the underlying level of around 29%, also confirmed as the yearly rate expected for 2019. Just to focus on the IFRS impact, slide eight is also useful to have a quick view on the overall impact on our profit and loss. In fact, just comparing the pro forma figures with the figures that we disclosed last year, you will see that we have higher D&A for 2.2 million euro, higher net financial expenses for 0.2 million euro, and on the other side we have an improvement on the EBITDA of 2.3 million euro. More or less, these are the same impact that we have in the first quarter 2019. And as you see, as you may see, there is no significant impact at the net income level. Let's move to the following slide on the cash flow generation, where we can see, starting from the 16.6 million euro net cash position we recorded at the end of 2018, we had 49.3 million impact due to the new leasing liabilities related to the application of the IFRS 16, and we consequently closed the first quarter with a 10.9 million net debt. The cash generation in the first quarter is approximately 22 million euro, below the level we reached in the first quarter 2018, because, as you may recall, in the first quarter 2018, we had some collection that we received on some invoices that were due in the previous year. So, on a normalized basis, figures are in trend with the figures recorded last year. Let's now move to my last slide before having Aldo finishing the presentation with the slide on guidance. So let's spend a few words on the balance sheet. You see our net invested capital reaching 207 million euro, and we have a big increase vis-à-vis the year-end 2018 figures that we comment a few weeks ago. We may see a big increase in the net fixed asset due to the IFRS 16 that is broadly offset by the increase in the net debt. The equity book value amount 196.5 million euro. Aldo.
Thank you, Alberto. So to conclude, the results of this first quarter and the visibility we have on the rest of the year allow us to confirm our expectation for the full year. Therefore, before the impact of the IFRS 16, we reaffirm the guidance for a further improvement of the adjusted EBITDA and maintenance CapEx on core revenue substantially in line with 2018. And with that, we'll now welcome your question. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Fabio Pavan with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, and thank you for taking my two questions. The first one relates to the AGCOM criteria. Could you just guide us through the way we should come from five to the final three, because this is extremely important. And the second question is on the deal with Open Fiber, if you just could share with us some more color on what you can do and what could happen in the future, also in terms of duration of this contract. Thank you.
Okay, Fabio, Giancarlo speaking. On your first question, that is the conversion criteria just issued by AGCOM. Basically, the conversion factor that will be applied to the number of multiplexes owned by each operator is basically 0.5. So this will lead to an automatically 2.5 MUXs awarded to RAI. Then considering a few factors, first of all, that in nature the Arfemux does not exist, so this will imply that the 0.5 transmission capacity will in any case be on a physical multiplex. And then also considering the role of RAI as public broadcasting services, so we presume also the importance for them to control also the infrastructure. And finally, also the possibility for broadcasters to be awarded with an additional 0.5 MUX of additional capacity from the auction. Let me say that all in all, this will translate into the management of three multiplex for Highway.
Hi Fabio, Aldo speaking. About Open Fiber, as I told during my presentation, the agreement with RAI and the Open Fiber is aimed at jointly test, let me say, products, technology, and services, of course, for broadcasting of HD video contents on IP platforms. Of course, being a memorandum of understanding related to R&R activities, its relevance is mainly a strategic one, as confirmed at the focus of the company on innovation, with particular reference to alternative platform and that can integrate the traditional one. About the duration, the duration is 2 years.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
The next question is from Stuart Gillies with Kempen. Please go ahead.
Thank you for answering my questions, gentlemen. So just a quick comment on the refarming process. So yes, you commented obviously at the start. Just confirmation on the timeline. So can we still expect the auction for the additional capacity to take place late November? And will it be following this date that we will get the update to the industrial plan? Thank you.
Yes, we expect that this auction will be finalized by November, by the end of the year. And also, as commented in the call for the full year figures, we will be able at that point to update our business plan.
Okay, perfect. Thanks for clearing that up.
The next question is from Giorgio Tavolini with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I would ask if you could provide the analyzed impact for IFRS 16 on 2018 in order to fine-tune our estimates and to have the full amounts for D&A and net financial position, if I can, assume a similar impact for the full year of the first quarter 2018. And the second question is related to the upcoming sales of Persidera. I would like to know if there is any, implication on the spectrum auction due in November. And what are your latest thoughts on this process? Thank you.
So let's start with the question on the IFRS. We can use as proxy for the full year figures absolutely the projection of the first quarter figures. So in terms of EBITDA, just to be clear, the overall yearly impact is something more than 9 million euros. In term as concerned the other question, please.
George, let me say that the refarming process and the sale of Procidera, generally speaking, are not linked each other. The second part of your question is on our thoughts, but let me say that the current process is different from the one we took part of. So let me say that we are not going to give any comment. Let's see what will happen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thanks to everyone for joining the call, and speak soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.